Hey everyone, this is Dean, and we just wanted to give a heads up that in this episode, we talk a lot about sex and sexuality and gender identity and other topics that some people might need a little bit of a warning for, or some people might want to proceed with caution and ensuring that they're in a safe space when they listen. So don't feel bad if it takes you a little bit longer to get through this episode. And as always, please feel free to reach out to us and make sure that your voices and opinions are heard. Feel free to correct us if we said anything out of line. And just know that everything we say is out of 3,000% love.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Jesus Did Not Die for This podcast with your hosts, Annie Cinco and Dean Ruiz. We welcome in all of our he, she's, theys, and however you may identify. We hope you enjoy the show. Don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends.
Welcome to Jesus Didn't Die for This. I'm Annie Cinco.
And I'm Dean Ruiz.
And we have a very special Pride Month themed episode today.
Yay!
Dean and I have been talking about this one a lot, trying to see all the things that we could come up with for this month. So we have a very special guest interview that's going to come out later this month with Dean's friend Mike.
As someone who grew up in church choir, I really, really love commiserating with other people who also grew up in church choir. And Mike is an adult who is still in church choir. So it's that nice consciousness that he can bring to that experience. But yeah, like Anne said, we have a very exciting Pride-themed episode. As always, we're just going to kind of wing it and see what happens. But one thing that I wanted to talk about specifically is the whole concept of coming out and the whole idea of people who grew up in the church, how coming out is difficult for them. Obviously, like coming out is difficult for anybody, but I think there's just like this sub-niche of people who grew up in this conservative Christian environment or anything where it's just sort of like, oh, this makes it worse. Like this is worse. So I can speak to that both on a personal and as a like as someone who's gone through it and as someone who's watched other people gone through it. So I just wanted to kind of like talk about that. And obviously, first things first is that like you don't owe anyone anything. So if you don't want to come out, you don't have to come out. And I am the most closeted out person I've ever met. You know, in general, I'm a very personal person. Like I'm personable and I'm slightly extroverted, but some things I take quite seriously and then it's personal to me. So the way I explain it is I'll talk about sex with everyone, but I'm not going to talk about what is going on when I'm having sex, you know, it's like that sort of thing. So I do believe that these conversations are important. And I do believe that there needs to be more transparency. And I do believe that there are people who need to share their stories. I am not one of them. I share what I feel comfortable with when I feel comfortable with it, and only when it serves me in the sense where it's helping me overcome something. So a great example is last summer I had someone who I thought was a friend, someone who was like my best friend all through college, attempt to assault me. And it was really, really hard to even admit that that had happened. And then when I finally did say something, it was several months later or whatever, and I blocked this person so they can see what I post, but they, you know, it's a long, complicated journey to deal with something like that. And I just need everyone listening to know that like there's no right or wrong way to do it. It's just whatever works the best for you and your brain and your mind and your heart and everything. So.
Yes.
That's kind of like one of the big things that I wanted to get out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think especially from, well, just both of us, I think just talking about our own experiences with just when you're raised in such a high control, high demand environment and you're told for so many ways that like XYZ are like completely wrong and it's gross and it's terrible and it's like the worst thing. And like, love the sin or hate the sin, you know, like whatever, whatever that is. I think it's really hard to, when you exit out of that, especially for people like me who on the spectrum of everything, like I am in a heteronormative relationship. Like, yes, I am attracted to people of many genders, but the way that I've heard it described with my other friends and just kind of more their experiences of coming out is like they kept saying it just meant so much to them that they needed to post it on social media or like just whatever that meant for them. It felt like that was really important to them and their story. And for me, with my sexual identity, and I haven't felt the need to like do that as much, but I think it's still important because I still honor that part of it though. Nick and I don't just have penis and vagina sex. It's just, it's so much more than that.
Right. No, 100%. And this is also like a really, this whole experience has just been like a real learning moment for me because I was the person that always knew who when someone was gay. Like, it's, so I'll clock them. And it's funny because of that, and because of my ignorance at the time, because I didn't know any better, when there's this, two childhood friends in particular, that when they came out to me respectively, my first response was, it's about goddamn time. You know, or it's like, I fucking knew it, which now I know is not the best reaction to do that. And if anyone is wondering why that is not the best reaction, the idea is that this person is coming to you in a state of vulnerability. And so being like, no, yeah, duh, is equal parts comforting and encouraging and supportive, but also it can be taken as like, I am not acknowledging how difficult this moment might be for you. So for clarity's sake, I have reached out to those respective friends and I did send them a message and I was like, hey, I realized it was kind of fucked up. And they're like, are you kidding? No, that was exactly what I needed. Like at that moment, that's what they needed. So I was always clocking my friends for being gay. And then one day I was like, okay, you know, like you're not straight. Like you're not straight. And I am an analytical person. I'm a very logic centered. Anne and I were talking about chaos and order yesterday. And so it's just like, I am all about order and the world is nothing but chaos. So I'm constantly angry. But I was like on this deep dive, figure out what everything meant. I remember when I was on Tumblr and people were like, I'm polysexual and I'm demisexual. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck any of this means, but I want to find out what it means. And all these people are so cool. And so like, I identify as like asexual, pansexual. Everything is a spectrum. And so I think when you're raised in a religion like Christianity and in this kind of like structure where we've talked about this before, it's black and white and there's no gray. And it's, there are some things that inherently are gray and there's some things that cannot be defined by one or two things. You know, gender is not binary. People are not binary, you know, and we have proof of that. We have proof of the fact that life cannot inherently be binary because we have plants and animals. We have animals that can change their sex. We have plants that can like asexually reproduce. Like there's just so many things that not just Christianity, but like several of religions like close their minds off to, and the fact that like life cannot be binary. And I think when I started to realize that is when I truly realized like, oh, I'm not straight. So my cute little like coming out was a few months before I married my now husband. I was on a Instagram post. I did an Instagram story in my wedding dress. And all I said is, let's get one thing straight. I'm not, you know, and like, that was it. Like that was the extent of like what I said and what I did. And I wrote a little note and it was, I don't have all the words to describe the complexities. I'm not really interested in sex in the way people are. Like I just, my brain does not comprehend it like at all. Like I don't get it. I recently found out that like people, when people watch movies and they're naked people on screen, like they get turned on. I didn't know that. I thought the reason like people felt so uncomfortable watching sex scenes with their parents is because it was sex with your parents. And like, I didn't know it's because people got like turned on. Like that blew my mind. I like turned to Nate and I was like, are you serious? Like, is everything I've known a lie? I will say that for a little bit, I did kind of sweep my asexuality under the rug of purity culture, of just like, oh, it's super suppressed under purity culture. And it's just funny because I remember like talking to someone and I was like, you know, it's funny because if I came out to my mom and said I'm asexual, she'd still be disappointed in me. Like, doesn't matter. It's like, I don't want to have sex with people, mom. How could you do this to me? You know? Right. When I said, like, okay, I'm going to give this a name. I'm going to say what it is. I'm going to call myself an asexual. I'm going to identify as one. I had, like, friends come out like, oh, my God, like, thank you so much. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing because that might be what I am, you know? And it's just like,
yeah,
I always thought there was something wrong with me because I, like, never wanted to, like, have mindless, pointless sex. Like, yes, I have had mindless, pointless sex. Thank you very much. And it was great and it was fun. But, like, it was exhausting. And not like, oh, see, okay, see, again, I just realized that could be taken like a sexual innuendo. No. See, this is the problem. It's like, I am just a naive Christian girl who grew up and now is asexual, but like everyone is attractive to me. And like, that's the problem. Because people are like, oh, like, what does it mean to be, like, I don't know what's been your experience, but like when people are like, when people find out you're pansexual, they're like, oh, like, what is that? Like, mean, does that mean like you'd fuck like anybody? And I'm like, sure, if they wanted to, like,
right,
you know. And yeah, then my favorite is always like, I know there's some like argument between like the difference between bisexuality and pansexuality, and they're like, oh, so like even trans people. I'm like, have you been on Reddit? Have you seen some of these people? Like, they're fucking gorgeous. Like, like the other day I told Nate I had an internet crush on someone and he like freaked the fuck out. He was like, I have never heard this come out of someone's mouth who wasn't like 15. I was like, oh. He was like, that's so cute. And then he started like making fun of me for having an internet. He was like, oh, is that your internet crush? And it was just like,
aww.
It was like,
no, mom, it's serious.
No, we're really friends. We really talk. You know? So it's just been really eye-opening, you know, to just be like, oh, there are actually people who, like, get that. I don't know if there's this meme going around, and it was that TV show Too Hot to Handle. And it was like, you should we should just, like, secretly have a bunch of ace people go into Too Hot to Handle, where it's like, because the entire premise of the show is that, like, you guys can't have sex with each other. And it's like, okay.
Whatever. We'll just look hot together.
We'll just, I mean, like, I remember, like, it was not after my first time having sex, obviously, but I do remember after my first time having sex, I was like, oh, so that's what all the fuss was about. And it was like, I had talked into someone and I was like, yeah, I mean, like, sex is cool, but like, have you ever really made out with someone? Like, that's hot. And they were like, you're so weird. I'm like, no, but like, honestly.
Seriously. Like,
okay. So going back to when I was like, I just recently found out that people get turned on by seeing naked people on TV. The only time I've ever been like sexually tense in any capacity when watching TV is specifically watching like regional Victorian. So I'm saying like Pride and Prejudice and Bridgerton, where it's like the you can't touch each other tension, because I'm literally like screaming and like anything that's like tension or secondhand embarrassment is my shtick. Give me like a good friends to lovers book and I will like cry.
I know.
It also doesn't help that I'm like a hopeless romantic. So of course in high school, all of my friends, it's like I would get a crush on like pretty much all of my friends, or like I wouldn't even have a real crush on them. I'd be like, how romantic would it be if you just like fell in love one day? You know, it's just like, oh, we're just like, yes. Everyone's like, you must be dating your best friends. Yeah. It's just been very interesting. Just like being able to look back. Because there was a time where, like, all of my best friends were guys, and I would just, like, only hang out with guys. And, yes, I was that girl in high school. It was like, guys are just, like, so much cooler than girls. Like, so, yes, please, clock me on that. But then also, it was also just, like, we just vibed.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh my God, you guys have to be like, no.
It's just, it's really interesting hearing you reflect on that as someone asexual frame, because my experience growing up is like, I was really attracted to boys. Like, I remember the first time I saw my crush's underwear, like above his belt. And I was just like,
okay, but in all fairness, for a teenager, there are some things money can't buy.
There are some things money can't buy. No, no.
There are some things money can't buy. That first time you see him with a wet t-shirt at church camp?
Oh, yep.
Lord. Lord.
But it's interesting, too, like, even though that was a heteronormative crush, it was still greatly disparaged because we were Christian teenagers. We couldn't be lusting after each other. We couldn't be thinking, and, like, in my mind, too, like, there was no dating for fun where I grew up. Only dated for marriage, and that was, I was just like, I don't want to do this right now at 15. Like, I really like you, but I don't want to do marriage. Like, I'm going to college, I'm going to be a strong, independent person,
right?
I don't want to be tied down. And then obviously I can't date more than one person, so I'm not going to date the first person. How's that for a mindfuck? What I always had considered my sexuality for a long time before I started like realizing there were like more words or like different venues for this was just boyish masculinity is generally what I'm attracted to. Right. So however you are embodying that, I don't care what your gender is, I don't care what you look like, but it's like, if that's something you're embodying, like there's a good chance I will be attracted to you.
If you're giving me Huckleberry Finn, I'll run away. If you're giving me like Boxcar Children, I'll run away and join the circus with you. Or you're the kid who's standing up to the conservative pastor, mayor of the town. Like, please meet me behind the schoolhouse. I will rock your fucking world.
Yeah.
Also, it's really funny because like that is, I can be in a room of women who were homeschooled or raised in the Christian conservative faith, and on one hand I'll be able to match at least two of their type. Two, because who do we want? We want a fucking Gilbert Blythe, obviously.
Yep.
We want Huck Finn, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are some people who want, like, a Mr. Darcy.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Want a Mr. Darcy. What's another good one? Oh, an Aragorn or, like, a Legolas. Like, sort of, like...
Yeah, Aragorn, you know,
like
yeah.
That sort of warrior... Like, Robin Hood. That's what... It's, like, Robin Hood, Aragorn, like, Knight of the Round Table. Like, that's the kind of thing they want. And then the last thing they want is, like, a Professor Moriarty.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Don't. If you're listening to this and you feel called out, you are not entitled to financial compensation. But please subscribe to the BBC on Amazon Prime. This is not an ad. Though, oh my God, I bet we could get such good ads.
I bet we could.
BBC could just like come back and just be like, hi, which doctor do you want? Do you want 9, 10, 11, or 12?
Exactly. I'm blanking on the actor's name, but I cannot wait for the new one. He was in Sex Education. He was the best friend. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm very excited. Yeah, it's just been very interesting. You know, I think the one thing I actually had a conversation with a friend recently, because there's nothing better than just like girls' night where we get drunk in each other's kitchen and end up talking about like deep shit. It's like we grew up in an environment in which everything needed proof and then everything needed actions based off of this proof.
Yes.
There were only some things that could be allowed by faith or by trust. And none of those things had to do with us. All of those things had to do with God. And so the concept of, hello, I am 25. How old am I now? I'm 25. I'm living with a boy who's my boyfriend. And I'm starting to think maybe I'm not straight. What are you talking about? This is absolutely ridiculous. Like, how could you possibly know that? There's only one way to find that out, and that's to go out and, like, sleep with a girl. But you're not going to do that because, one, you're not, like, I do not have a cojones for that. Let's just be honest. Two, you're in a committed relationship where, like, that's not comfortable to you at this point because your entire mentality on partnerships and relationships is like a monogamous contract, but like emphasis on the contract and emphasis on the, if you break the terms of agreement, we're through, we're done, you know, which is an entirely different episode for an entirely different, you know, we can talk about this in August or November.
Yes. Yep.
That's one of my anniversary months. So we can talk about that in August and November.
Perfect.
But the idea that like, well, now you're with this guy and, you know, you're engaged. I think I was engaged at the time. And it was like, okay, that's it. Like, you're done. So it's like, you'll never know. And it was just like coming to terms with the fact that like, no. I am allowed to believe something and know something about myself. And I'm allowed to trust myself. And I think that's kind of like the key where like we were taught to not trust ourselves because the flesh is weak. And, you know, because like, you know, the enemy comes in through the lust of the flesh or things like that. And I literally thought it was like, I wasn't 100% in the church. I wasn't in the church at that time, but like, I definitely do remember feeling like maybe this is just me freaking out because I'm living with this guy. And like, it's like my brain is trying to make me leave because I feel guilty about living with this guy that I'm not married to.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and just like, if you take the time to like go back and think about it, everyone remembers that like one person where my friend and I call it the bisexual urge, where you don't know if you want them or if you want to be them. So like that's like something that I experienced, and it's just like, you know, giving yourself a lot of space and, you know, just truly realizing that there is no black and white in this, you know, and embracing gray is very strange and it's very scary, but I think it's more terrifying when it's something about yourself because, you know, we're constantly told like who we are in Christ, who we are in this, who we are in that. We're told who we are in Christ and we're told who we are without Christ. And so then suddenly just being like, oh, maybe there's a part of me that like I don't have clearly defined can be really frightening.
Absolutely. Yeah, like just having that be out there in the open without anything around it can also, it feels very vulnerable. And like that can be really scary. And I think that is also what a lot of conservative states we've seen are trying to do. Like they're trying to take away the language and take away the rights and take away everything that's been given, because then if you're not talking about it, it's not real or like it doesn't exist. But there was even just a phrase that I heard today and I sent it to my friend and I was just like, this is us. Like, this is 100% us. And it's a queer platonic relationship. We like literally after her divorce, I lived with her. Like we raised children together. We made house decisions together. We helped each other when we had medical emergencies. Like we were 100% in a fully functional relationship. It wasn't roommates, it wasn't I'm just living in the basement, it wasn't nanny, it was we were in a fully functional relationship, but we weren't looking to pursue a relationship, like pursue that escalator of, you know, like going on dates and exclusivity and like working towards marriage. Like we were just, that was where we are, and like that's still what we operate in. But friendship always just felt like, well, it's more than that, but it's not,
right?
You know, but it's like that's always just been, like she's my best friend, but it's just like, oh no, like we literally call each other wife. Like she always says how lucky she is to have a wife and a husband.
So
it's just realizing things like that, and just having some language for it is just kind of like, oh
yeah. Cool. And I also think that like, to speak on that is I had a similar experience where it was someone who I'm just going to refer to them as senpai in case. And they, senpai, well, for clarification, senpai means like it's an honorific in Japanese. And So Senpai and I did everything together. We constantly did everything together and inseparable. And this was them before their transition. And, you know, a lot of people talk. A lot of people are like, oh, like, what is that? What's happening here? And I was like, no, this is my best friend. Like, this is a person who is giving me everything I need in a friendship right now. This is a person who's, like, supporting me in a way that I needed, like, emotionally, mentally, physically, but not sexually. You know, for me, it was not sexual. Mm-hmm. And it was just insane because someone brought it up not too long ago that they were like, oh, when you came out as pan, I kind of had a feeling because I had always assumed that you and this person had had a thing. And I was like, really? Because, like, that feels incestuous. Like, that feels right. incestuous. But I think what it is just that like sort of that Christian Anglo-Saxon narrative that like everything has to be clear cut, you know, like, you know, there's so many cultures, you know, there's like two spirits, you know, and I was just reading, oh, it is called The Prophets, and it was from, let's see, it's The Prophets, and it is by Robert Jones Jr. And in that book, it is about two gay men. And in that book, they refer to it as the old way. They refer to the men as that they're like the old way or something like that. And because one of them was bisexual and the other, you know, it's like this whole concept of like clear cut rules for like everything is really like colonistic and like it's truly a tool of the patriarchy.
It absolutely is.
It's a tool of the patriarchy. And it's like, no. I know, it's interesting.
Oh, I was just gonna say absolutely, and like that's the thing is like it even now what we're seeing is like it's coming down to power. Mm-hmm. It's not actually coming down to anything they could possibly throw. Like they're throwing out just everything, and it's just like, no, like it just every single time you whittle down that argument, it just comes back to power and control. Power and control over other people's bodies. And power and control over all of that. And it's just, it feels like, and especially like just knowing too how many Christians are just so out of tune with themselves because they've been conditioned that way.
We're looking at you YouTubers where the husband is obviously gay.
Yes.
It's, what's sad is that like everyone who just listened to that saw a different couple in their head.
I was just gonna say we need to compile a best of list.
everyone had a different idea.
Everybody thought of a different person.
I thought of someone off of TikTok. It was he sat down and he clapped his hands and crossed his legs and she looked up to the ceiling and was like, Lord, give me grace. And I was like, you're gonna need a whole lot more than grace.
Ooh, Lord.
For that. But
sweetie, let me look up the domestic helpline and I will link it in the show notes if you need it.
Hi, welcome to Jesus Didn't Die for This. I'm Annie Cinco.
And I'm Dean Ruiz, and we have a very exciting announcement to make.
We are introducing our Patreon.
Yay!
So stoked about all the light and love that we've received from y'all, and we wanted to set this up as an opportunity to have a little bit more interaction with us and for y'all to support us.
Yeah, so we love doing this, and we are very excited to offer about 5 different levels of support, each with their own unique levels of access, starting from monthly updates to on-air recognition and helping us decide our next podcast topic. You can be as involved in this podcast as you wish.
Yes, and we also will have lots of bonus episodes. We'll have opportunities to purchase our merch at a discount, and we're just really excited to be able to have a little bit more community with y'all. There's a lot more that we can say behind a paywall paywall. Let's just say that.
Yes.
Just a little bit more open and a little bit more laid back. And we were hoping we can just have some more dialogue with y'all. So thank you for supporting us. You can check out our Patreon. We'll have it linked in our episodes.
Link in the bio. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe.
And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts because it really helps us out. And it helps other people like you find us.
Exactly. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Tell everyone.
Don't tell mom and dad.
Don't tell mom and dad. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, but don't tell your parents.
Yes, church kid rules still apply.
Christian teen rules still apply. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I do want to say that, like, as an older sister, when certain members of my family came out, I remember being scared, angry, and proud at the same time. And I was scared for them. And I was angry that they had the bravery to come out, because I knew how much harder it was going to be for them. And now I'm realizing. I was angry because they were able to tell the truth to themselves way before I was able to tell the truth to myself. Mm-hmm. And obviously I was like super proud.
Yeah.
So it's been a very interesting kind of ride along the gay train.
Along the gay train. I know. Well, and like the thing too, I just want to say, because I, again, like being in a heteronormative relationship and just feeling secure right. with my identities, like in those areas, like obviously I do hold a lot of privileged identities. I feel like something that we had talked about too was just a little bit of like the being a little bit uncomfortable being in certain spaces, but I also realize, like, if you have enough awareness to know that you're uncomfortable and you right. don't want to take up space, you probably won't. Like, but just being very aware that a lot of other people yes. need yes. a lot more space yes. and bring a lot more there than I do. So I think part of that too has been this year, I've been a little bit more intentional right. about showing up for myself in some of those spaces, and also just being more consciously aware of my terminology, because even it was a friend that called me out, but I had described our relationship as straight, and she just looked at me and she was like, Annie. I was just like, okay, you got me there. Like,
but yeah, no, that definitely, I definitely understand that as someone who is married to a man, you know, it's like, oh, okay. You know. Yeah. You know, it's like me there, like, yay, gay rights, and everyone's like, okay, cool, like,
yeah,
you know, it even more so when it's like I'm in a mixed relationship with a white passing man, you know, and it's just, you know, so it's like I look like I'm married yeah. to a white man, even though, like, personally I don't think he looks 100% white. Everyone calls him, yeah, he does look 100% white,
yeah,
but like he's white passing, and you know, I do hold a lot of privilege, and I do hold a lot of entitlement, and I take it very seriously, you know, and I'm so, I don't want to say that I'm lucky or blessed, because this shouldn't be something to be like lucky or blessed about, but like my partner
exactly.
is obviously an ally and a humanitarian, you know, I remember he had some friends over and they were playing like Magic the Gathering, which was like, you know, the nerdiest white boy shit you could possibly play. And one of his friends was saying like, oh, that's so gay, as like a bad thing. And I remember hearing it and like, and his back was to me. And before I could even say anything, not only Nate, but like one of our good friends, like one of Nate's best friends was like, is it really? Is it? Tell me how that this is. Tell me how this is homosexual, you know? And he was just, they just like would not let it. And he was like, oh, you know, like, no, dude, like, I want to know. Like, I want to know, like, tell me what about it is so, you know, and so just really constantly pleasantly surprised at the amount of like people, you know, and
yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's just, I don't know, I feel like Christianity inherently taught me to distrust everyone. So when I finally like started accepting myself, I still have issues feeling that like everyone will accept me, or I just kind of still feel like, you know, there are negative stereotypes out there, like for a reason. Like, I am trying to find new friends, so I'm on Bumble BFF, and the amount of people who are like, they put that they're queer, and then they have to say like, hey, I'm not looking for a third. Hey, you know, it's just like, I, you know, but then it's like, I don't know, I feel that as an individual, the more comfortable I became with my sexuality, the more I realized that straightness is not actually a thing. Sorry, but like, if you walk down the street and like, as someone with a uterus, where I'm supposed to be attracted to someone with testicles, or right, that's the anatomy different. Yeah, I didn't go to school. I don't fucking know. That was actually another fun thing. I have a whole segment for like, I didn't fucking go to school. The amount of times I've literally said that, like 100% honestly, being like, I didn't fucking go to school. I don't fucking know. It's just like, have you seen what society calls men? Like, have you seen them? Have you interacted with them? Do you really think like, you think if sexuality was a choice, I would choose to be with a man? Let's just be frank, darling. Do you really think that if sexuality was a choice, I would choose to be with a... I was just talking about this. At my friend's wedding, some dude fucking followed me into a back room while I was getting garbage bags to clean up. And I'm like, you're literally going to... And then he's just stood there like, hey, I saw you around. No fucking joke, bitch. I'm the wedding planner. I'm the wedding fucking organizer. You're going to see me around fucking everywhere. And he's like, oh, like... and I was just like, you're not even like saying words, you're not even like doing things, you're kind of just like standing and like licking your lips. And I'm like, do you need Vaseline? Do you need ales? Like, can I help you? Are you dehydrated? Like, I don't know. The mating rituals of men are so bizarre. Like, I was watching a documentary, and I told me, I was like, why don't you just dance for me? Like, I just want you to, like, do a little dance for me. Honestly. Yeah.
I know. Well, yeah. Well, I'm trying to think of, like, how I want to, or, like, how to phrase this, but there is like, there's a toxic, it's a toxic masculine ideology that I think a lot of men on like, and I mean, we were all conditioned into it. We were all conditioned to be, the culture is structured in such a way that it is racist, that it is homophobic, that it is like consistently placing all of these things and like trying to keep us in these. So men, and like, I just feel like in some ways, like they've just been so conditioned to that way, like then they go out and act upon it, and then no, they're like, wait, sweetie, you don't like that? Like, this, and it's just like, no,
yeah,
no, we don't. Well, and it's so interesting too that you brought up the Pride and Prejudice, because that movie specifically, I was reading just a take on it, how it was really filmed for like a female audience, or like under like a female gaze versus a male gaze. So that's why you see so many shots like that, you know, where it's like the hands and like the tension, and like, that's why it's all set up that way, because that's, surprise, that's what women like. That's what a lot of women like. And yeah, like, just go figure that a female could write movies for other women that they like, rather than us all just looking at it through a white male perspective.
On the female gaze, I watched Gunpowder Milkshake on Netflix. And if you have not watched it, you need to fucking watch it right now because it has Karen Gillan and Freya Allen and Lena Headey and Carla Gugino and Michelle Yeoh and Angela Bassett. So the vibes are immaculate. It's everything you've ever wanted. And I remember like going on this rant on my old Instagram account that is now deleted, but I'm sure I have the story saved somewhere, where I said that this movie was written, it's a story about women, written for women, told to women. And and the way you know that is because it comes off as queer. The way you know that is because it comes off as like gay. It's very like that whole queer platonic, maybe not so like platonic, just like those queer relationship dynamics is just there. But if you look at it, like when I looked at it, I saw it for, oh yes, they're definitely dating. But at the same time, I saw it as, oh, that reminds me of me and so-and-so. That reminds me of me and so-and-so. Mm-hmm. It's because that dynamic, that vulnerability, that like intentionality with the relationships and like the vulnerability that is societally seen as female is actually like human nature. Yeah. Go ahead.
So that's just something I need to shout out for Nick, first of all, but I just want to speak to, we were just at a wedding this weekend and I saw so many beautiful male friendships that are just truly deep and truly intimate. And these are men who had been together since like middle school and like grew up together in the small town. And the wedding we were actually for was for somebody else, who Nick met through work. So like, it was like riding the gambit of like a relationship time, but just seeing that male intimacy and just being
it's
able
so
to appreciate
beautiful.
That.
It's so beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
We recently went to go visit a couple of friends, and one of the friends, these are all people I met through Nate because these are Nate's friends. And then like I, you know, came into the picture. And so now they're my friends too. One of them, like, I cherish.